Morning, everybody. I am Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay. Welcome to Mosaic House Online Campus. We're so honored that you're here to worship our Lord Jesus together. Today, we're going to talk about a little bit about a tough topic, which is domestic violence. I just want to let you know right off the bat, I know it can be hard to hear, and it's a very common story, unfortunately, in our day and age and in our country. And if something that I say either hurts you or moves you or triggers you in a way which it's tough, you can please text the word prayer to this number on the screen, and somebody will be there to connect with you, to pray with you, to ask you to come and bring healing and comfort to you. So I just want to let you know ahead of time. My father grew up in a very patriarchal society where the man, the husband, was the head of the house. No questions asked. And actually, his dad got married while he was in his 20s, while his mother got married when she was about 12 to 14 years old. And that culture influenced the way my dad was a husband. When my parents got married, my mom wasn't allowed to work. She was expected to have children and raise them at home. As well, when guests came over, she was expected to serve the food, then quietly go away into her own room. And unfortunately, along with this, my mother also experienced emotional and physical abuse from my dad. And one of the ways my dad justified this was actually through the Bible. In a passage we're about to read, 1 Peter 3:7, it calls wives the weaker partner. And because of this, he thought, you know, this was God's will that I treat my wife in this way. Now, what is your experience with this verse, this idea of weaker? Do you believe that wives and women are physically, spiritually, mentally weaker than men, than husbands? We're doing a series right now called Living Hope Better Together. We're looking for the book of 1 Peter to seek out and celebrate Jesus, who is our living hope. And we are better together as we embrace this living hope in Christ. And today we're looking at We Are Better Together in Submission. Let me just, right off the bat, not give any more suspense. Let me answer that question. No. Women are not weaker mentally or spiritually than men, than husbands. Because Jesus, our living hope, has come to become one of us, to take on our human flesh, he has restored broken relationships, especially that between men and women. And in Christ, we are better together when both men and women are celebrated as equal children of God, made in his very image. Today, we're going to keep that in mind as we explore this text today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. And this might be a good time. If you want to follow along the message today, we have a sermon outline. Click on the resources tab. The scripture will be on there, as well as places where you can fill in the blanks. So let's look at 1 Peter. We're going to start at chapter 2, verse 13, and then skip over to chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called her Lord. You are her daughters, if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, thank you that you, in your might and strength, became weak for us. You submitted yourself, Jesus, for the sake of your Father and for the sake of our salvation. So we praise you for that. And Lord, with that in mind, we come now to this text in wonder and mystery. And today we want to celebrate the way that you have created and chosen women for your glory. So help us to learn what this text means for us today. Help us what it means to be better together in your kingdom. And guide my small words, Lord, for your great glory. We pray this in the wonderful, powerful, and humble name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I want to first out say that thanks to my wife, Sarah, for guiding me through this message. It has helped immensely. And this is the main big idea, theme and goal. You can write this in your notes. Jesus chooses women to show us hope. Women and wives have a very special place in the kingdom of Christ. Jesus specifically chooses them to show the rest of us what it looks like to put our hope fully in God alone. And scripture shows that women, they're not weak in faith. Rather, as James says, they're the ones who are rich in faith. The ones who are the ones who will inherit the kingdom of God. And when we listen to and value women, we become better together. Women enrich the life of the community of Jesus by helping us to set our hope fully on Christ, our living hope, our Savior and Redeemer who submitted himself for our sake. Jesus chooses women to show us hope. Now, to kind of explore this, I want to look at 1 Peter, specifically at what that word weaker means. You can write this on your notes. When Peter uses the term weaker, he is urging a call to care. Weakness refers to physical strength and social power. Now, my wife, she is stronger than me in many, many ways. However, generally, I am physically stronger than her. Now, I grew up on a small farm community, and I'm the first to admit there are many women who are stronger than me and still are. They're tough. But generally speaking, and especially in the time of 1 Peter, in this Roman culture, husbands, in that time, they were typically, when they got married, 28 to 30 years old. They were physically stronger than wives who were typically, when they got married, 15 to 17 years old. And in this way, wives were more vulnerable than husbands. And today, we actually still see kind of that, not to that same extent, but in a similar way in terms of today's domestic violence. Women in Canada are at a higher risk of gender violence than men. One example is in 2018, they did a survey and they found that 44% of women who ever had an intimate partner relationship reported experiencing some form of violence by their intimate partner in their lifetime. And that's opposed to only 36% of men. And unfortunately, some experts say because of the pandemic or because of the circumstances of the pandemic, domestic violence-related calls in Edmonton to Edmonton police have risen 16% in 2020. And in Roman times, this was even worse. Domestic violence was against the law. However, it was widely practiced. Women during this time were seen no less than objects, than slaves, and they had very, very little rights. They were expected to be this image of being pure, submissive, well-behaved, and if they kind of acted outside of that image, husbands, they had it in their right, and they were expected to discipline their wives in, unfortunately, violent ways. And during that time, a woman's testimony in many areas of Rome was deemed untrustworthy. So even if she told people what had happened, went to the courts, they probably wouldn't believe her. And this speaks to the second meaning of that word weaker. You can write this in your notes. The second meaning of the word weaker means in terms of social power. Now let's go to verse 13 again. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. This section is directly connected to the one about wives and husbands. Now, human authority, Pastor Victor mentioned a couple weeks ago, the first thing he talks about is rulers and citizens. Now, in terms of social power, in terms of ability to exert power, be successful in life, who is stronger, the ruler or the citizen? The ruler. In terms of the next one is slaves and masters, or Pastor Victor mentions employers and employees, who is stronger? Who has more social power? Masters, employers. And then we get to this section of wives and husbands, in that context, who had more social power? Who was stronger? Husbands during that time. They had way more rights. And therefore, women, in terms of social power, was seen as weaker, more vulnerable. In that culture at that time, one historian writes this, women were often seen as weak physically and mentally. They were inferior to women and existed to serve the men as little more than slaves at times. Their only value was bearing children. And unfortunately, this inequality was also amongst the Jewish culture. One passage from the Talmud kind of sums up the situation, saying this, women are swathed like a mourner. In a reference to when women were to go outside, they had to put on a covering on their face. And they weren't allowed to talk to anyone. And isolated from people and shut up in prison. They had no community to surround them and support them. And in the face of all this misogyny, does 1 Peter just kind of embrace it, or does he resist it? And I would argue that 1 Peter resists this kind of misogyny, this inequality between husbands and wives. For one thing, he addresses husbands directly. This would have been unheard of. You would never tell a husband what to do in his own home, his own domain. And even more, if you look closely at the text, he is leveling the playing field between husbands and wives. He calls husbands to care for the wives and to respect them. Verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Now, another way to translate that word is honor. And this is the same word that Peter uses in chapter 2, verse 17. He says here, show proper respect to everyone, love the family believers, fear God, honor the emperor. And that word honor means recognize the value of someone. You can write this in your notes. Peter is saying, as much as you recognize and value the emperor, value your wife, who is a daughter to the King of Kings, ruler of rulers. And Peter goes on to do something even more pretty intense. He says here, if you don't do this, your prayers will be hindered. Respect your wife so that your prayers will not be hindered. You can write this in your notes again. Peter is saying your relationship with your wife is directly related to relationship with God. To hurt your wife, to diminish your wife, directly affects your relationship to God. He is limiting the power that men had in that society and calling them to use the social power they have to care for their wives, to respect them, to submit their power in service to their wives as their wives also submit to them. This is the idea of mutual submission we find in scriptures. Another place, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. Just before he talks about wives and husbands, he writes this in chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And as wives, yes, are called to submit to their husbands. Husbands, too, because of their power especially, are called to submit themselves and care for the wives especially in the light that they are vulnerable in this society. Now, let's look at another meaning of the word weaker. You can write this in your notes. In the whole biblical story, the term weaker is actually a compliment. God especially is close to those who are considered weak in the world. And they have a special place in God's family. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 26, is one of my favorite verses. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you are wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Take note of this one. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. This is how God operates. He chooses the things, the people that the world wouldn't choose for his glory. One example that we've recently seen is the Easter story. The first people who heard about the goodness of Jesus were women. And isn't that funny? Because, like I mentioned earlier, their testimony was deemed unworthy in court. If you wanted to tell the whole world what the best news of all, in that culture, in that time, you probably shouldn't tell a woman, but God, in his grace and mercy and love, Jesus chooses women to show us hope. And what's beautiful, I love the story in John 20. Jesus is risen from the dead, and Mary is there weeping, and Jesus starts talking to Mary, and Mary mistakes him for a gardener. Now, that's an allusion to another story in the Bible. Where else in the Bible can you think of a story of a man and woman in a garden? If you know the Bible, you probably think of Adam and Eve. If you know that story, God created the whole earth and created men and women in his image. They were equal. They were one. However, when they sinned against God, their relationship with each other was broken. That is when inequality came. That is when the diminishing of God's image came, as their relationship with God was also broken. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, he came to first restore our relationship between us and God so that we can be one with him, we can have just experience his love and grace. But also, John 20 is saying he's also redeeming and restoring the relationship between men and women, between wives and husbands. Paul in Galatians 3 kind of sums up this new reality in Jesus, what Jesus has brought for us. He says here in verse chapter 3, verse 26, so in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you all are children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. In Christ, in his community, there is a new social order. There is a new hierarchy in which Christ Jesus is Lord. He is the head. And second below him is everybody else. We are all one in Christ. And 1 Peter seems to have the same thing in mind, same as Galatians 3, where we are heirs of God. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says this, calls wives and husbands heirs. And the Greek word is co-heirs, equal heirs in the kingdom of Christ, in his new inheritance. And this is good news, especially for those considered weaker in this world. Citizens of low status, slaves, Gentiles, and women. And also, it's maybe not so good news for the stronger in this world. Rulers, masters, and men, and husbands. At this time of 1 Peter, wives are becoming followers of Jesus at a much faster rate than husbands, because to the wives, it was good news. They were now co-heirs with Christ. Their status was now elevated from being a slave to an object to being a child of God, a daughter to the king. While for the husbands, this was potentially bad news, because a lot of the husbands at the time, they would actually lose their social status by becoming a follower of Jesus. Because at the time, Christianity was seen as this weird, maybe even dangerous sect, this weird cult. And for a husband to become associated with those people, those weak people, they might lose their position, their strength in this world. And at the time, the gospel grew primarily through wives, through slaves, through the weaker in the world. And this is why women, you can write this in your notes, are so precious in God's sight, because they see and long for the kingdom in a real and visceral way compared to the strong in this world who kind of like things the way they are. That's why in Matthew 5, Jesus says these words in chapter 5 verse 3, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who are low in this world. And the word blessed can also be translated, congratulations, you are poor. Congratulations, you are a woman, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. And this is what women teach us. Their hope is not in success in this world, you can write it in the notes, but their hope is in God alone. And that is what Peter is kind of hinting at when he talks about in verse 3, this adorning. Let me read this for you in verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past put their hope in God and used to adorn themselves. Now, Peter is not saying that women and wives shouldn't look beautiful, shouldn't use things to enhance their beauty, or I don't say enhance their beauty, but makeup and things like that. That is fine. In the context of this time, Peter is talking to wives, Roman women, who were actually spending crazy amounts of time on their outward appearance. One commentator argues that sometimes 10 hours a day will be devoted to creating this image of themselves. At the time, I guess blonde and purple wigs were a huge fashion, was pearls. If you've ever seen the movie The Hunger Games, notice the fashion of the capital. That's largely based on Roman culture at the time of Jesus. And this outward appearance would directly connect to your social status, to success in this world. And Peter is saying, don't set your hope on this world which judges by outward appearances. Don't put your hope in how good you look online or how many people are following your social media. Rather, hope in God alone. For this is the way the holy women in the past put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands like Sarah. And because that women have this hope in God alone, they demonstrate strength, spiritual strength and courage. And that's why I think Peter mentions Sarah. Now, Sarah is Abraham's wife. And in Jewish tradition, Sarah is considered this great example of faith. And it wasn't because of her passivity and docility, of just always being quiet, not saying anything, kind of being invisible. No, rather, if you look through the whole story of Abraham and Sarah, it was because of her radical submissiveness, which was characterized by courage and self-sacrifice. You can write this in your notes. Submissiveness is characteristic of moral and spiritual strength, not weakness. Once in the story of Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was coming to this new kingdom and country. He was afraid that they would kill him. He was shaking in his booties and didn't know what to do. So he asked Sarah to risk her life and pretend that she was his sister and go to the king to make sure that he doesn't get killed. Oh my goodness. And Sarah didn't do this once. She did this twice. While Abraham was scared, not trusting in God, Sarah, out of love and obedience, submitted herself, risked, sacrificed for the sake of her husband and for the sake of God. And this is kind of the same idea what 1 Peter is asking wives to do and calling wives to do then and today. You can write this on your notes. Stand firm in the faith, especially when your husband is going against the Lord. Now, in the days of 1 Peter, because women had little rights or protections, they were expected to follow the religion of their husbands. They had to obey their husbands in everything. And if they didn't, they could be severely punished. They could be killed. Or they could be kicked out. And unfortunately, because at the time, women were financially dependent on their husbands, this would be such dire. This would be hopeless for them. They had to follow their husbands. But Peter is encouraging women to express their love for Jesus by quietly serving, submitting to their unbelieving husbands. And women, wives, they were literally putting their lives on the line for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of Jesus, and for the sake of their husband, in the hopes that their husband, even if it meant losing his social status, would come to follow the true Lord and Savior, Jesus. Now, who does this remind you of? What does this submission remind you of? It should remind you of Jesus himself. Sarah, women, and wives give us a clear picture of Jesus, his love, his sacrifice, his submission. And if you look at this whole passage, in between this idea of submission, first it has rulers and citizens, then slaves and masters, and then between wives and husbands has this picture of Jesus, the one who submitted and gave himself for us. And let me just read it for you. Chapter 2, verse 21. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, we have been healed. You can write this in your notes. Jesus sets an example of submission for us. And wives follow that example to a T because their hope is in their Savior. Jesus chooses women to show us hope. At this time, husbands, because of their position of power, they could not fully grasp the significance and the cost of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the cost of our sin and salvation. And wives, because of their lack of social power, they fully understand the cost of Jesus, and they were willing to pay that cost, even if it meant their very, very lives. Jesus chooses women to show us hope, and husbands were encouraged to care for and learn from their wives. Now, let me just say this. Just because women and wives show us this beautiful picture of Jesus and this example of submission, courageous submission, that doesn't mean that they should stay in dangerous and abusive situations. Peter is very clear. Husbands, especially those who follow Jesus, must respect, must honor, must care for, submit themselves to their wives, else their relationship with God, their prayers are hindered. And like Pastor Victor said a couple weeks ago, you write this on your notes, obey the law of the land until it disobeys the law of heaven. And the law of heaven states that women are co-heirs with men, co-heirs with their husband. They are made in the image of God. They are to be honored, respected, and valued. And when this is disobeyed, women therefore have a right to submit, not to their husband first, but to Christ, the one whom we are all married to. And one example is my own mother. I really see her as this example of faith. She is so strong in many ways. She endured so much. She tried so hard to submit to my dad in so many ways. But my dad kept disobeying the call from God to care and love for my mom. And while in those times I see the example of Christ in her submission, I also see the example of submission and love through her eventually leaving my dad. That took great courage. She came to the part where she had to submit to her Heavenly Father, to Jesus, over and against her husband. And my mom grew in a very traditional Filipino culture. You cannot leave your husband no matter what. Even if they try to kill you, you have to stay there. But rather than following that authority, she followed the authority of Christ. And when she did, her parents didn't talk to her for 10 years. I can't imagine how hard that was. But she followed, she submitted to Christ by following Jesus as her head. And that was for the sake of Christ, but also for the sake of her husband, sake of my dad, to stop him from continuing disobeying God. One of my friends says that the greatest gift he ever had was when his ex-wife kicked him out of the house. Because in that moment, that came to realization that something was wrong, that he was going against God. And he eventually was able to overcome his addiction and also follow the one true God. Jesus chooses women to show us hope. Let me end with this application. We are better together as a community of Christ when we honor women. Women, you are great in God's kingdom. And one other story I'll quickly share is my dad, he grew up in a very toxic environment. His dad was alcoholic, was very abusive. And I think one of the reasons why my dad still has faith in Jesus is because of the example of his own mother. He always remembers just the good things about her mother. And unfortunately, his mom died when he was 12 and his dad died when he was 15. And he went on a really bad path. But despite all that, and my dad is changing by God's grace, and a lot of that comes back to that example that his own mother gave to him. Women, wives, Jesus loves you so much. He has chosen you, he has adorned you with this beauty and strength. You teach and show us how to set our hope in God alone, not in this world. And your example, your hard times, is a picture of Christ to us and a gift to this community. And I'm thankful that at Mosaic House Church, we have many strong women as examples. We have pastors, lead missionaries, leaders in our church and in our house churches. At Mosaic House Church, we are a community of house churches. We meet together every week to share in the good news of Jesus and to care for our neighbors. And I'm realizing lately that most of my close friends are men. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if all I surround myself with is men, I have a very skewed perspective of the gospel. And I am so thankful that every time I go to house church every week, I get to listen to, learn from these strong women in Christ. They teach me more about submitting to Jesus. They, I believe, are healing some of my heart, which has been affected by the patriarchal environment that I grew up in. Jesus is choosing them and inviting them to help me grow in him. And I encourage you, if you're not a part of a house church, and let's say you have only friends who are one gender, consider joining one today. We are better together when we value women. So Mosaic House Church, let's keep elevating the role of women here. They remind us of Jesus, and also we want to support those, especially wives who are struggling during this time, who are in difficult situations made worse by the pandemic. And again, I encourage you to text the word PRAY to this number, Someone will be there to support you, to pray with you, to guide you. We are here for you and encourage you also to reach out to a house church. They're the ones who will be there to walk alongside you during the hardest of times, to respect, to love, and to honor you. Let me just end with this. The weakest person in North America, according to many studies, is actually weakness in terms of social power, is actually indigenous women. Gabor Maté, he's a doctor who has been working alongside the inner city, downtown east side of Vancouver. He writes this, of any group in North America, whether in the US or Canada, none can be said to be more psychologically and socially oppressed than indigenous women. And Mosaic House Church, we got a grant to share and celebrate the voices of indigenous people and indigenous women, something called a contextualized indigenous awareness, and we're creating short videos to help the church learn from these beautiful voices. And I want to show this short video of one indigenous strong woman. It's a short clip at the very end of her testimony. She shares her really, really difficult, hard life. I'm sure she can relate to many of the wives in 1 Peter. And at the end of her story, she shares her hope in Jesus, our living hope. So let's watch this together.
Holy One, we honor you, your power and strength renew. We will worship you, we will worship you.
But I can't wait to get to heaven. He promised me bears. And I want to see polar bears and grizzly bears and brown bears and Kodiaks and black bears and every kind of bear that you can imagine, because I love bears. I love Jesus too. And I want to sit around a campfire with Jesus and have a drink, cup of coffee, and just ask him all the questions that I ever had. He said, my Father's house has many rooms. And I have gone to prepare a place for you. But when we make our rooms for our children, we make them with all the things that they love. With the posters, maybe a keyboard or musical instrument, and, you know, bulletin boards where they can hang their work, and all the things that stimulate them, all the things that they love. Well, I love camping and I love my bears. And that's what Jesus has promised me. So when I have a rough day, I just remember my bears. And Jesus sitting around the campfire with me.
This courageous, strong woman expresses the hope she has. Hope not in this world. Hope despite her suffering and pain. Hope in the living and risen Christ Jesus. The one who bore our sins on the cross. The one who submitted himself for our sake. And the one who has prepared a room especially for us. I can't wait to see her room. I can't wait to see your room. A room that celebrates who you are, your culture, your identity. I wonder what's in your room, what's in my room. And this room is in a home where everyone, every gender, every culture is equally loved and cherished by our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus chooses women to show us this. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are our living hope. The one who submitted himself to become a slave for our sake, even to the point of the cross, and the one who was raised to life to redeem and restore and create this new social order in which there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, we all are one in you. So Lord, help us to live into this reality. Help us to cherish the weaker voices in society and even in your church to remind us of your good news, and especially help us to value women whom you've chosen to share this good news to us, whom you've chosen to shape how we see your gospel, shape submission. Help us to learn from them, and also help us for care for those who are struggling right now, especially during this strange time. Give us eyes to see your kingdom anew, Lord, and help us to set our hope fully in you, Lord Jesus, and in your kingdom, which is here, but also coming again, a kingdom and home for us all. We pray this in the strong, yet submissive and loving name of Jesus. Amen.